I think we have seen Paytm's roller coaster in terms of getting listed at around $1,600, went through of touching a low of what, $400, and now back to $1,100.
Profitability has come because they have just said that we've reduced the number of employees significantly, and therefore employee costs has come down.
Now, if anyone is saying that India doesn't buy software, here is an example of India buying software. 21 lakh new sound devices were sold in last 1 year.
Everyone keeps asking ki Cred app itna complicated kyun hai aur kya phaltu ke features hai, but I guess they didn't realize that it's just underwriting data quality, right?
Bluestone investment thesis, it was broadly on three major trend lines, right? One is that India consumes more jewelry than apparel, right? The second is the movement from unorganized to organized, right? So back in 2014, there were hardly any brands, right? Everybody was used to buy from the local jeweler. Third big trend line they were playing on was the online shopping, right?
CaratLane can even go higher EBITDA if they sell on higher AOV, but then it will start cannibalizing Tanishq. And if Bluestone doesn't have that, anyone from top pushing ki don't go higher AOV, buy design looks like the business may can do a 10% EBITDA as well. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 40 of the Asymmetric Podcast. Today we have one of the OGs of the Asymmetric Podcast with us, Darshit Vora, partner at Sparrow Capital, one of the best micro VCs in the country. He spent more than a decade, I think almost 15 years as a VC now. So he is back with his insights, objective, fair, measured, if I can call it, on the overall fintech space. We cover Paytm and its rebound, what's happening in the overall financial services fintech ecosystem. And we also cover the Bluestone IPO and a little bit of insight into what's happening into omnichannel brands slash retailers, how India's evolving, how the consumption's evolving, and a lot more.
I think we have seen, you know, Paytm's roller coaster in terms of getting listed at around $1,600, went through this whole roller coaster ride of touching a low of what, $400, and now back to $1,100 after a lot of, and it's been what? It's been 4 years now, right? It's going to be 4 years. I think they'll listed in 21 Diwali, around Diwali. So what we were discussing, I think this is one of those cohorts which has taken almost like 3 years plus to get to profitability and then has started to now show scale. I think most, this is, I think, the bird's eye view of their revenue. Three big things: payment services, financial services, marketing services. Big one is payment services, by the way. Then leading to, of course, there is a now a PAT of 100 odd crores, which is there.
Do you know what changed in the past 1.5 years? Because if I was seeing the their quarterly financials and yearly financials update, all the margins have below after CM have moved dramatically, but CM has been similar. So what has changed after CM that has led to such drastic improvement in PAT?
On the right hand side, if you see, there is a 33% YOY decrease on employee cost. If you talk about OCM, marketing cost has gone down by 65%. These two are big ones. Employee cost was a big one for them. But I think the most interesting part in Paytm, or at least the few interesting part for me was, I think one was that India doesn't pay for software, right? If this has been touted globally also, Darshit would know that these numbers, that global enterprise software is 1.24 trillion. We spend like less than 2%. MSMEs, small businesses don't adopt. They still believe in manual spreadsheet work. You know, all of that stuff. And if you look at now Paytm, their Paytm device subscription is now, they have 1.3 crore devices. You know, that's a mind-boggling number. India has close to 63 crore MSMEs. Out of that, 1.3 crore paying merchant with subscriptions. Now, if anyone is saying that India doesn't buy software, here is an example of India buying software. You know, you just do a little bit of maths that 21 lakh new sound devices were sold in last 1 year. I think if you do a backward math, I think it comes out to like mind-boggling number in terms of sold every minute. This number. I think 4-5 aa jata hai, ki 4-5 sold every minute. Imagine, you know, and then I was asking, ki yaar, India mein toh bola jata hai, feet on street, doesn't work, CAC doesn't fit in. All of those questions come up, right? And this is not very expensive software, right? So at least this was like mind-boggling for me. This is like Bharat at scale.
Yeah.
While we always look at Paytm as, you know, the payment app, which was the original first use case. But I think this has become the big use case. I thought they would have captured the market, but they're still like only 20% of the market is captured. They are by far the 70% of the soundbox market, but still there is a large market which is untapped. Still a large market is untapped.
How are they calculating that? Ki kya bacha hua hai market? Like, is it merchants who don't have a UPI QR code sticker ya UPI QR code sticker hai lekin soundbox nahi hai?
Nahi, total MSMEs dekh rahe hai na? Total MSMEs pe dekh rahe hai.
If you actually take a cut of saying, I'm assuming of this 63 million, probably 30-35% will be the retail SMEs, MSMEs, right? There'll be some manufacturing, some services, right? So if I take that cut, then maybe it may be a fairly high penetration, basically.
Yeah, but imagine, you know, on a 1 crore base, they again like sold 20% more.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? And their guidance continues that this will be the biggest thing. They continue to innovate on this. Abhi, I was reading that they have now come up with this solar charging soundbox.
Yeah.
Very cool.
What innovation, yeah? And this is like India only innovation, mostly.
Yeah.
I think I was reading about it that the way it started was that when you earlier used to pay via QR code, you would get an SMS. And the seller or the merchant would miss that SMS and hence they would not be able to reconcile. And hence they thought that, okay, can you build a sound device?
Yeah.
So that's where it started. And we look at this India innovation here.
And I think the biggest thing they have been able to prove is to be able to layer in multiple products after making this as an anchor product, right?
So not only, yeah, the people are paying for this subscription.
Yes.
But the interesting part is that, of course, this becomes the POS equivalent, and then you can layer on multiple products on top of it. Right, and imagine all of this is, by the way, most of this is sold feet on street.
Yeah.
So CAC fits in. And of course, it's I was reading somewhere that this is like 12-14 month CAC. Yeah. So they charge, it's a recurring revenue also. So they charge, I think, not much. They charge like 70-80 rupees average per month on this. And they have a, like, if they, let's say the box costs 1200 bucks and they have 200 bucks of upfront fees, which is the onboarding fees. So it's a CAC payback of 12 odd months.
Wow.
But isme tera wo nahi hai kya? There's no repair maintenance fee for the box, kya? Because it doesn't, most of these retail outlets that I see in India are also in a very, like, what do I call it? Matlab dhool, mitti, garmi. It's not like in a most AC environment jahan pe jaise Pine Labs ki machine hoti hai. Like, I could argue that the Pine Labs POS machine, even though if I see petrol pumps is largely Pine Labs, there also I keep wondering here, how do these machines last in this environment, right? Shoppers Stop ke retail mein toh badhiya chal jayegi yo. But if I see the Paytm soundbox, it's like in a, like, even a sabji wala will have it. So I'm assuming a lot of these situations may end up requiring the box to need some repair or maintenance. Aisa nahi, like, wo kahin cost captured nahi hai kya?
I'm assuming that's a low one, although they sell a little bit of refurbished also. So they would like buy back and then refurbish and then sell it. It's like a massive business here. Look at, you know, if you are, it's what? The size of this business is today. Sorry.
And this is which segment? This is the payment services jo segment to bole. Yeah. Teen segment bole.
So this is only software services, by the way. This is not payments. As in revenue.
नहीं, तूने स्टार्टिंग में तीन रेवेन्यू लाइन आइटम बताया ना?
करेक्ट, इट्स क्लब्ड इन पेमेंट सर्विसेज
बिकॉज़ इन यूपीआई दे डोंट मेक एमडीआर, राइट? सो व्हाटएवर इज द मनी दे मेक,
सो दिस इज पार्ट ऑफ द पेमेंट सर्विसेज लाइन आइटम.
यस.
सो 21% एक्स्ट्रा बॉक्सेस दिए हैं और 23% रेवेन्यू ग्रो हुआ है ऑन पेमेंट, व्हिच इज रफली दिस.
करेक्ट.
एंड व्हाट इज फाइनेंशियल सर्विसेज? लेंडिंग.
करेक्ट. सो आई थिंक द इंटरेस्टिंग पार्ट इज इट इज सेड दैट पेमेंट्स इज अ कमोडिटी बिजनेस इन इंडिया, राइट? व्हिच इज ट्रू. But it has growth levers and can, like, at this scale, can be standalone profitable. Right? So this is the net payment revenue which they made, excluding UPI incentive.
Would a Pine Labs, which also charges for the machine, to a modern trade or sort of high street, I think it's a very different segment, but because Pine Labs is going IPO, I just thought this is a, would it be similar, would it have similar revenue lines? Ki there is obviously a software/hardware payment. Yeah, of course, compared to the soundbox, I think the Pine Labs machine costs a lot more and the rental therefore is not 70 rupees a month, but it's like 700 rupees a month. It's almost 10 times the rental income. Plus there is then वहां पे पेमेंट का भी आप ज्यादा पैसा बनाओगे बिकॉज देर इज अ लॉट ऑफ कार्ड, देर इज MDR प्लस देर इज EMI कन्वर्जन, सो दैट्स अनदर इनकम ऑन टॉप. सो वहां सॉफ्टवेयर
के ऊपर,
सॉरी,
प्लस AOV इज हायर.
करेक्ट करेक्ट. सो तो इज दैट समथिंग दैट वी वुड बी वुड ट्रेड एट सिमिलर मल्टीपल्स दैट शी अज्यूमिंग देयर रेवेन्यू मिक्स इज सिमिलर सॉफ्टवेयर हार्डवेयर देन EMI आई एम अज्यूमिंग विल गो इनटू फाइनेंशियल सर्विसेज इनकम एंड बिकॉज भारत पे आल्सो अनाउंस दैट दे हैव बिकम प्रॉफिटेबल नाउ. आर दीज ऑल फॉलोइंग अ सिमिलर मॉडल दैट यू गेट इन हैव अ वेज वेयर यू हैव अ स्टैंडर्ड सॉफ्टवेयर स्लैश हार्डवेयर विच इज डेली यूज, मतलब उसके बिना तुम्हारा गल्ला चलेगा नहीं, राइट? उसमें तुम बहुत कम पैसा बनाओगे एंड देन उसके ऊपर यू स्टार्ट लोडिंग ऑन दीज सर्विसेज. ऑफ कोर्स यू मेक मनी थ्रू पेमेंट्स देन लेंडिंग एंड देन अदर सर्विसेज पर से. इज दैट अ फेयर अंडरस्टैंडिंग ऑफ हाउ दीज गाइज आर ऑपरेटिंग?
I think one is there are probably three layers. One is the hardware, which is where you start accepting the payment, right? But that is something which you can always replace, right? Today I'm using Paytm Soundbox, tomorrow I can start using PhonePe Soundbox. But then they got in to say, I'll provide you various software. For example, reconciliation was a big problem, right? So now there is a software which allows you to do a lot of that work, right? And the third layer is then, now I have a lot of your data, so I'm going to cross-sell the lending products to you, right? So basically, they are making revenue by layering in multiple products and services by that. But the only key distinction I feel between something like Pine Labs is going to be more on the, let's say, they'll have a lot of presence across the modern retail, right? Versus the phone, Bharat Pay and the Paytm will have a lot of presence across the smaller merchants, right? So here it will be credit card MD. They won't have 1.3 crore POS machines out there, right? I don't know the number, but Pine Labs will have a much smaller number of machines out there. And the revenue may be largely, lot of revenue may be the MDR what they drive on the credit card, right? So the margins on that revenue will be, because then you have to pass on most of that to the issuers, the card issuers and so on, right? Basically, right? Yeah. So there the margins will be lower, but in a Paytm, this is pure subscription revenue, right? So in a way, if you look at their payment services business, it's a 60% margin business, right? Basically. So hence the quality of margins will be very different for both kind of businesses, basically. If you are a card MDR based revenue business versus a Soundbox subscription revenue business.
So you're saying the card business quality of revenue is lower or better? Sorry, I got a little confused.
The margins will be lower. Margins will be much lower, basically.
Because
right?
Banks, the issuer has cost, the higher, you're saying.
Correct. Most of the MDR is passed on to an issuer, basically, right?
So your ability to command high margin is lower. Yahan pe, while this is more harder to do because you have feet on street, tum chote logon ke jaake ja rahe ho, but it is higher. You're saying the moats are a little stronger, if I can say that. Because your margins are better, your ability to keep doing that, though I think as you said, PhonePe also has a soundbox and I'm sure Bharat Pay will also do a soundbox, and that sort of, it's not like a monopoly as such. You will always have to keep competing in this market, but at least you have the margins to keep your lead, at least healthy lead in the market as the first mover.
Correct.
I think ek aur interesting cheez hai before, we have heard this a lot that fintechs can't scale lending without owning risk, right? In India, it has been said that you have to own the risk, you have to own the NBFC, and then only it works, or you have to give a default, first loss default guarantee or some participation in risk. I think Paytm has started to prove that their financial services revenue, of course, has increased. But if you look at the buckets, they have these four buckets. They provide merchant loans and personal loans. But if you break that into merchant loans, non-DLG model is, there is no default guarantee, which has become the largest chunk now. Right, so it's without default guarantee. And in fact, they have a large pool. So they have close to now 4,000 crores, which is on DLG model, which was earlier the way they started. But they made this guidance in the earning call that AUM is declining rapidly. And it has come down from 6,000 crores to now 4,500 crores. So non-DLG based lending, which is like the pure platform play, wherein you are only orchestrating either underwriting or collections, is starting to happen here, right? Which is far more scalable. It's clean margin. In fact, they have made this statement that lending partners have voluntarily moved away from default loss guarantee because sub lenders ko lag raha hai ki yaar is acha underwriting hai, default nahi hota hai, let me only make. Why do you want to participate in risk? You make the connection revenue. pipe revenue rather than, you know, participating in risk. Isn't that interesting? You know, I have heard this, that India may at least, you know, this non-participation of risk in financial services does not scale. But there is a clear example now, which is coming to fore, that this is possible. A true platform play is kind of possible. This is quite eye-opening for me, because we have seen that in multiple cases where, let's say, you know, I believe CRED also floated a NBFC just for this reason, that they wanted to participate. Whereas now Paytm is showing that this is possible.
It's a question of time.
Isn't that a change in...
But maybe it's a question of
question
time.
Question of time, as in...
Like, aapne 4 saal lending karke dikha diya ki aapka jo book ban raha hai, wo itna high risk hai nahi. Like, I just like to believe that India mein na bahut sharp hai yaar log chiraga. So, for example, if I'm an NBFC,
whenever we have thought about this now, what happens is, there is this, of course, Paytm has scale, but typically what ends up happening is, you have to have a large supply of NBFCs at the back, right, who you are dependent on. And they go through their cycles of supply, wherein sometimes cost of capital is high, low, they don't want to underwrite.
Correct.
So, it becomes a little bit, or a lot more difficult is what I've heard, to scale a book dependent on a partner. Right? Now, if at this scale, if they have been able to get partners and get liquidity and get them to participate.
I don't disagree. I completely agree with your point. What I meant was the other side. Maybe I didn't use the right word. Ek side loans hai. So let's say I am 5 NBFCs, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And between their yearly risk reward framework, they are underwriting some of the loans and saying, "Thik hai, ye wala loan book, ye isko main lend kar dunga, isko main lend kar dunga." And constantly there is a matching. Ki yaar, itte sare merchant aa rahe, ye kaun uthayega loan karke? I'm saying, after working with Paytm for 3 or 4 years, let's say I'm NBFC 3 and my outlook for FY26 is that I want to make more money now. I have enough liquidity. I want to make more money. And I see that over the last 4 year period, all the loans I did from Paytm actually had less than 1% NPA. So if I had actually taken the full risk and not shared the risk with Paytm, I would have made more margin as well. So I got the comfort. It's exactly how banks do, right? 3-4 saal baad after they see you, they realize that, yeah, this is a good process. This is a good system. I can afford to take additional risk here because my credit committee will do it. So what I meant is, it's a question of time, of having seen enough loans, not only coming in, but also being paid through, and 2 or 3 cycles of that happening where you can start trusting the, I don't know what is the right word, Darshit, isme, acquirer of loans, because Paytm is technically acquiring these loans from its merchants and then saying that, okay, this is the portfolio I have. Who wants to underwrite this? Is that a fair understanding, Darshit, that If given enough time, piche NBFCs will start taking more comfort from your acquiring and basic underwriting that you do initially, whatever you bring to me as well, and I will do the final underwriting. But if I trust your acquiring and basic underwriting skills, then I'll be able to take more risk.
What Chirag is saying is also important, to have a diversified set of NBFCs at the back end, because everybody has a very different risk appetite, right? And you will have a very diversified set of merchants. So what is the kind of penetration you are able to drive depends on what kind of NBFCs you have on a backend. But the second point, what you said is that because Paytm has been around for long enough, and NBFC would have seen the seasoning of the book to see what are the steady state NPAs looking like, right, across multiple cycles. Now they are much more confident to going without doing any risk sharing. So ideally, this is how the ideal fintech model would be looking like, when somebody has a massive distribution and they can monetize the distribution using lending. This is an ideal perfect model, but it's a slow process to get to this, right? From day one, nobody's going to open a tap of 10,000 crore book for you without sharing a risk, right? So either you say, I'll share the risk, or you go slow, basically, right? Those are the third path which people are taking, that I'll have my own NBFC, where let's say there is a 30% of the portfolio which other NBFCs are not ready to fund. I am confident of funding through my NBFC, and I'll build the book and I'll show that it works, basically, right? So there are multiple paths, but the good part is, to Chirag's point, that Paytm has proven that there is a way to get there, right? And be the pure fintech platform player, basically. Yeah.
And Darshit, let's say if you were looking at an early stage startup, would you now believe that this is possible and bake into a model where, let's say, somebody starts with some sharing of risk, and then over time, that risk can be reduced and can be brought down to a pure like fintech arrangement?
Yeah, I think absolutely. That's absolutely possible. Yeah.
Okay.
I think now it's proving both on consumer, merchant, everywhere, right? There are a bunch of consumer platforms also. Let's say take a CRED as an example, as a massive personal loan book, right? And over a period of time, I'm pretty sure that they will be also be able to get to a, say, even 60-70% of the book where it's not on a risk sharing basis, because they are able to prove the quality of book they are able to build along with the lenders, basically, right? Mm.
And then, you know, at least from a valuation multiple point of view, then these companies should command, you know, more tech type multiples.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
To FS multiples. Right?
Like because even if FS is 500 crore quarterly revenue business, I'm sure the margin will be, it's a pure, basically it's a DSA revenue, right? So there's there's hardly any cost below that, right? So it's a very high margin business, right? And hence the blended business, that's why it's just 60% contribution margin, right? So I think definitely far better quality revenue compared to if it was a risk sharing or a lending business, basically. Yeah.
The question is that if everyone is the book matures, then people get more comfort and the ask to share risk reduces and therefore margins go up, right? Whether it's a merchant lender or a consumer lender. Then isn't it just a function of time? Like 4-5 years, if you give it to this company and they continue to compound on the same philosophy, and let's say 20% acquisition keeps growing, but on the 20% acquisition, their technical EPS growth will be 30-40% because margins will go up. Then these are beautiful businesses to take a punt for 4-5 years, right?
No, I think the two things are most important. One is be able to prove the retention, long-term retention, right? So let's just take a world where it was just a QR sticker. The biggest worry was ki usna sticker ukhaad ke dusra sticker laga diya, to you, the money doesn't flow through you, right? So
correct.
The whole pitch of Paytm to lender is to say, you can do daily collection or whatever, let's say, because the money is flowing through me. So, usne aaj 1000 rupiah kamaya and your prepayment is 100 bucks today, I'll give you 100 bucks, right? So, you have a control over repayment. So, to be able to prove that the merchants will not move away from me, that's a very big deal, right? Right. So, that was a big problem, you know, when people were just putting the sticker, right? Because sticker to matlab, so they proved by saying, I provided enough hooks in terms of different softwares that the merchant is not going to move away, right? It's going to be sticky. And the second is the quality of data that you are able to provide, right? Let's assume there is a merchant who is doing a business, but only 5% of the transactions are flowing through you as a platform, and you have no visibility into the remaining 95% of the business, then it's very hard to do merchant lending based on just 5% of the data, right? The more and more data you are able to provide, because you have a payment data plus you have a bunch of softwares which you have provided to the lender, through which a lot of other data is moving, probably the invoice, GST data is also moving through that. So you are able to provide a much better quality data to the lenders. These two combine is what creates the long-term value, right? So even on consumer side, I believe it should be same, right? That people were able to prove that there is a stickiness of the consumer and they are able to give significant data to be able to underwrite those consumers, right?
That's why the everyone gets excited.
From a starting point, it is like a little bit of a chicken and egg story, where let's say Paytm would want higher success rates of loans being provided.
Yeah.
Somebody as a customer or a merchant is wanting a loan, and NBFC would be very cautious day one.
Yeah.
Right. They would not give those approvals, and hence some amount of risk sharing helps.
Yes.
But at their scale, if they're able to prove that this works, and then over a period of 3-4 years, you can bring down these loss guarantees and make it very, very pipe revenue.
Yeah.
I think it's like very, very scalable. Then.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think my question was a little bit on the consumer side, but you answered that, Darshit, ki consumer side pe to stickiness aur hard ho jata hai. Like what Cred has still proven, and the reason it's still a very valuable business, is that at least for a certain segment of 750 plus, though they dropped that now, subtly nobody realized that they dropped that 750, but at least they have that very clear set of 20 million users where the stickiness has been exemplary. And their ability to show that in spite of not having a credit card, which is the easiest sticky, like if you're, I think now I understand a little bit more as to why people want to give you a card and then want to make sure that their card is used as the primary card. Because it just signals stickiness ki yaar mera card agar har mahine use ho raha hai, toh matlab ye mera customer hai.
Correct.
Which allows you to show that, share more margins with me on this particular customer, because this customer is not going anywhere.
Correct.
Consumer business, it's harder to keep the customer sticky with you, especially when you don't even have a card that Cred doesn't, for example. But still, at least they have managed to build that massive book on a consumer loan business, which continues to but be sticky that, for them.
Revan, the interesting part is that consumer in this case is owned by Paytm and not by the NBFC.
Merchant, you mean?
लोन ओरिजिनेट भी वहीं हो रहा है, या मर्चेंट ऑल्सो एंड इन केस ऑफ क्रेडिट लेट्स या कंज्यूमर ऑल्सो, लोन ओरिजिनेट भी वहीं हो रहा है ऐप पे एंड रीपेमेंट भी वहीं से हो रहा है.
यस करेक्ट,
इट बोथ आर हैपनिंग. सो रीपेमेंट बिकम्स अ यूज केस विच इज वेरी वेरी स्टिकी फॉर डाउनलोडिंग एन ऐप और कीपिंग एन ऐप.
या
सो दैट आई थिंक इज अ, इमेजिन दिस ऑल्सो इन द एनबीएफसी इक्वेशन वेयर यू आर सेइंग दैट आई विल गिव यू द लोन बुक बट द कंज्यूमर रिलेशनशिप इज विद मी.
या No, I think the more interesting thing I was just thinking out aloud when you were mentioning this about stickiness is everyone keeps asking ki cred app itna complicated kyun hai aur kya faltu ke features hai, but I guess they didn't realize that it's just underwriting data quality, right? That acha tumhare paas gaadi hai, do gaadi hai, do gaadi mein tum POC tax
exactly.
bhar rahe ho ki nahi.
Exactly.
Right? Just right. Every car that you are paying the bill, every car you have uploaded details, it's just better and better underwriting ability ki who is a customer that you should lend to, who you should not lend to, how much you should lend to that customer. And your ability, and of course it also serves as engagement a little bit, but that all of that ease is essentially feeding into higher quality data for underwriting and stickiness of the consumer on the platform, which will eventually lead to better margins for cred. But if I see that flywheel, it seems to be working well. Like,
yeah.
I know they did a down round recently, but overall seems like if you play this out the next 4-5 years, there will be significant margin expansion and therefore again then ideally multiple expansion on the book size that they have.
Yeah. And they have the most prime customer of the country, right? On the hooked onto a platform, if you think about it, right? So,
yeah.
And funny part is they've been able to build a book going after a customer who is, it's not like that guy is not getting a loan, right, from an HDFC, right? So,
yeah.
But still they're able to, that tells you something that even in a lending product, this consumer class values convenience, right? So, he's like, yaar, mereko HDFC mein 10% pe mil raha hai, ya 9% pe mil raha hai, credit pe 11% pe mil raha hai, but I'm okay because it's a 3-month loan, it won't amount to too much of delta, but I'm getting this loan immediately versus my HDFC mein jaunga and it will take a long time, right? So that also tells you something about the behavior of that consumer, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. And by the way, because you mentioned GST, I just realized that there is a, I don't know, have you thought about this, Chirag? I think 5 ya 7 tarikh ko GST dena hota hai and there's always a cash flow mismatch, right? Like you could technically fund, because you have all the data, you could fund the cash flow mismatch for GST for people where you're saying your calculation, because actually everybody, a lot of them miss their GST timelines because the calculation is not easy. You have to close all books and then calculate the exact amount and stuff. What if you could just actually give them a approximate loan and say, yaar, aram se calculate kar lo once you get, and then it could be like a 15-day GST loan that you could do for all your merchants. I don't know.
Quite
because
possible.
There is a penalty for missing the GST timeline, and if you don't record, like, you know, PF, ESIC, GST, sab, बहुत खौफ होता है लोगों को और होना ही चाहिए, बिकॉज व्हेन सरकार आती है तो बैन बच जाती है, राइट? सो यू डोंट वांट एनी ऑडिट्स हैपनिंग फ्रॉम जीएसटी साइड एंड ऑल. सो एस्पेशली इन द, आई मीन, ठीक है, मे बी योर मर्चेंट्स आर अ लिटिल बिट मोर डिजिटल सेवी, बट आई थिंक फॉर समवन लाइक पेटीएम विद सच अ लार्ज एमएसएमई बेस, व्हाइल द गवर्नमेंट ऑब्वियसली हैज मेड इट, ट्राइड टू मेक इट कन्वीनियंट फॉर द एमएसएमईज, आई डोंट थिंक दे हैव a CA sitting there and doing the calculation, yes. Right? Like, ki kya hai? Like, this could be a massive another unlock in terms of, I don't know, maybe part of the reason why their loans do well is also because of this same insight only.
The whole payment ecosystem, there is a very clear winners emerging on merchant side. Paytm is taking a lead, where on a consumer side, it's a GPay and PhonePay is taking a lead, right? So that's also very, and both are able to prove that I am able to layer in multiple products and monetize. On consumer side also, PhonePay has been able to prove that they are able to sell the loan products, they are able to sell the insurance products, they are able to sell multiple products, right? So I think it's pretty interesting that while both of them are trying to do both merchant and consumer, but clearly Paytm has taken a massive market share on merchant side and PhonePay has taken a massive market share on a consumer side, basically. Yeah.
And largely, would you say that Paytm's customer base is different from PhonePay? And why have they not gone on the consumer side aggressively?
I think Paytm, I personally believe, took a much longer time to transition to UPI, right? So they were a great consumer product in the world of mobile wallet. But when the world transitioned away from wallet to UPI in 2016-17, they took like 2-3 years to make that transition. And then by that time, PhonePay and GPay had taken a huge market share, right? So I think probably it was just because of that lag that they lost the market share on the... because pretty much it was UPI was pretty much like eating into their own business of wallet, right? So there was a little bit of that innovator dilemma probably they may be going through to be able to launch the UPI.
Yeah, but yeah, this is sort of worrying, right? That ye hil nahi raha abhi. Matlab phone pe and Google pe ka jo lead hai from a consumer convenience point of view, this isn't moving anywhere. And this has been like similar.
Yeah, in fact, if you think about it, if NPCI had come up with some cap that no player can have more than.
Yeah.
But still, it didn't really move assets, right? So it's just the product has gotten sticky, right? But if PhonePe is getting to this kind of revenue numbers, I'm assuming GPay will be ballpark similar numbers.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
And what is, let's say, PhonePe?
They don't do lending.
GPay has, I believe they were trying the...
Yeah, no, Revanth, if you see, they on the app, once you make the payment, there is a personal loan, like a sticker which comes up.
Achha?
Yeah.
I didn't notice that. Because my understanding was they were not everybody's highest revenue comes from, as you said, the software or the hardware device or lending as such. There's no money in UPI at least. And though NPCI has now started making some comments saying we never said UPI will be permanently free. So looks like the lobbying is going to get maybe some 10 bips on UPI as a charge at some point of time. Above a certain, I'm sure it will keep it financially inclusive so that 2000 ke upar shayad ya 1000 rupees ke upar shayad charges ho.
Revanth, on Google Pay, if you scroll down on the home screen only, there is a section of manage your money. It has two tabs, personal loan, gold loan. Apply now.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. Just but I think they will be doing it very, very, very carefully considering a company like Google will, I'm not saying as startups cut corner, but I think we do, I mean, nobody's going to stop if something is in the gray and then they'll figure it out along the way, right? Like, I doubt Google will, like, they'll take 20,000 approvals before they even put some a button like this, right?
Yeah, they haven't gone as aggressive on financial services compared to, say, PhonePe, for example, right? So, or Cred, right? So, on a consumer side monetization, probably they haven't gone as aggressive. Yeah.
I think this was the big, I realized what Chirag was saying, ki profitability has come because employee cost has gone down. This, they have actually put up in the annual report as well that we believe it's, I mean, I don't know if the AI first is marketing, but they've just said that we've reduced the number of employees significantly.
But I'm sure Paytm will have a lot of back office operations work that must be happening so far manually, right? Because payment mein kaafi sara merchant onboarding require a lot of back office operations work, KYC and fraud checks and everything. So I'm sure something they would be able to automate.
Yeah, there is a lot of possibility here. I don't know how much of that is.
Yeah, that's true. I
agree. But for sure, like, you give this couple of years, this can further go down the similar number.
It was the other part, right? That BharatPay has turned profitable in FY25. And though they have said they have put off their IPO and they will raise about $100 million, some primary, some secondary, we'll see what the valuation lands up at. But where do we see BharatPay in this? Because they followed very similar strategy to Paytm, right? How do you as an investor see that? Like the number three player. I remember, I mean, this is a little close to heart for me and Darshit because we were investors together when we saw the deal for the first $2 million seed check. And I think that the question was same back then, that how does someone go and compete against Paytm? Now it's how does someone compete against Paytm and PhonePe? But of course, it's not a winner-take-all market. You could always carve out a certain niche for yourself. India is large enough where someone could even say, I'll go sit in Northeast because wahan pe koi ja nahi raha hai. Wahan, like, I've seen logistics players do that, right? Ki hum sirf Northeast ko serve karenge and becomes a large business. So is that how we see BharatPay or is there some other wedge that they have to gain market share when these two are going at it, hammer and tongs?
Currently, at least based on all the publicly available numbers, they are definitely chasing the same market as Paytm is chasing, right? And they are clearly probably number two or number three in this market, right, compared to the other players. But as you said, India is such a large market. On a merchant side, at least, there is enough runway for people to build large enough company, right? So, and it's because there are so many possibilities opening up, right, around. Like I was reading somewhere that people have now started thinking, how do you not only provide lending, but wealth as a savings or wealth as a product to the merchants also, right? So I think gradually you will have more and more such products and more revenue pools opening up basically, right?
You should. So anyway, BharatPay has now said that they are not going to do an IPO, but as we said, Pine Labs, similar business though, maybe different margins, would love to sort of deep dive into a few of the IPOs that are coming up. Maybe the one that's currently live, by the time the episode releases, obviously the subscription will be closed. So we can't be accused of soliciting any interest in the IPO. So, but would love to hear your thoughts on Bluestone as well. What have you seen in the last 10 years? I think you saw Bluestone first, what, 2014?
Yeah.
And then subsequently, it's been like a roller coaster of a journey to now $1 billion, close to $1 billion valuation for the IPO. I don't think back then, maybe the underwriting was that it will become a large business, but I don't think it was at $1 billion. But then obviously there was a situation where company, the online TAM was limited. Gold wasn't doing that well. Then they pivoted two vectors, right? Online to offline and from gold to more diamond studded jewelry. It's been like a, it's almost like a 2.0 or 3.0 in that sense for the business that we see today compared to where it started, which is the case for most startups over a 15-year period. But would love to get your thoughts on that one as well.
Bluestone investment thesis, it was broadly on three major trend lines, right? One is jewelry is one of the largest consumption category in the country. Food, grocery, if of course the largest. And then jewelry is the second largest, even above apparel, right? So just think about it. India consumes more jewelry than apparel, right? As a consumption category. The second is basically that the movement from unorganized to organized, right? So back in 2014, there were hardly any brands, right? Everybody was used to buy from the local jeweler. So the movement of unorganized to organized was the second big trend line. And the second, third big trend line they were playing on was the online shopping, right? I think probably, definitely first two trend lines played out. It was the third trend line, which was a challenge, right? So it took a company and everybody some time to come to an answer that, look, ultimately, somebody is trying to buy a 50,000, 1 lakh rupee jewelry, and online only may not be the most efficient way to sell this, basically, right? And then the company pivoted to omni-channel, and after that, it's been an exponential ride from there, right? So I think, and that learning probably came to multiple companies. It's not just Bluestone, right? Think about Lenskart or FirstCry, right? Many of the companies did extremely well after they pivoted to omni-channel models, right? And they proved also that omnichannel works in India, right? So where discovery can happen online, but the shopping can happen offline, basically, right? So definitely it's going to be a very exciting story for omnichannel brands in India over the next few years. FirstCry is already public. Lenskart is going to go public soon, and Bluestone. So that's amazing.
And Darshit, when you say omnichannel has worked, is there a double click here that it works for categories where experience like matters much, much more, AOV is higher, like yes, in case of jewelry, you know, or in case of lenses also, spectacles, you know, it's difficult. While I know Lenskart has put out this technology wherein you can try that 3D visualization, but still, you know, getting a feel, you're going to like not replace either jewelry or spectacles every year or so. So better go out, try. I remember, abhi toh aajkal log 100 day guarantee dete hain on spectacles also.
Yeah.
That, you know, 100-day replacement. But is there, like, would you say omnichannel works for these kind of categories where high consideration?
Yes.
And then you want to have experience, you will not buy them very frequently because AOV is higher. Un categories ke liye zyada relevant hai as compared to, let's say, what you were saying, apparel or jewelry, which is, let's say, daily jewelry, which is less than 2,000 rupees, 3,000 rupees, those kind of segments as well?
I think if you think about where the online penetration has happened, we all agree that electronics and mobile accessories is the, where the, probably it's a 35-40% online penetration, right? Because the product is standard, iPhone is an iPhone, I'm still going to get an iPhone, right? It has not happened even with apparel. Even if I want to buy a 500 rupee t-shirt, it has not happened to an extent one would have liked. Apparel is still like probably not more than 8-10% online penetration in the country, right? And it's also because people want to kind of try out the product before they buy this products, right? So like a jewelry or a apparel or any of this product. In fact, if you think about the original promise, let's take a jewelry as an example. The original promise was very exciting if you think about it, that when you walk into the store, you are limited by the number of designs you can see, is limited by the shelf space in that store, right? In an online world, you can actually... Yeah, offer an unlimited catalog because you're not keeping any inventory, right? It's just a design. Once you order, then they'll make it and they'll send it across, right? So in a way, it was a promise was there, right? For an online as a model, theoretically speaking, right? But somehow it didn't play out that well, right? So if you originally go back to the idea of that was same, or even for furniture or that you can unlimited design, unlimited catalog. When you walk into the store, you can only see five sofas, but on online, you can probably see unlimited number of sofas, right? So I think that was the original idea, but it seems like Indian consumers like to see and feel the product before they make such a high value purchase.
But it haven't we seen in China also this progression of penetration in e-commerce happens, starts with electronics because it's standardized and then moves to beauty, which we are seeing now.
Yeah.
At least beauty is starting to explode online. And then the third one is fashion, which I am at least seeing some early signs.
Yeah.
And then the fourth one is home and decor.
Yeah.
Right. It's playing out the same way in India also. You take like the 3 year buckets, and I'm sure we'll see those things starting to come up.
Actually, yeah, it's a generation thing also, right? So for us as a generation, it was about moving our offline behavior to online, right? So that was a much harder. But if I think 15 years from now, when there is the consumption clan is going to be a generation who is just born in the world of online,
yeah,
who hasn't really seen the concept of walking into the store, I'm sure the penetration will be way, way higher, basically, right? So,
kids don't even think about that for shopping, you have to go offline.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at, e-commerce mein khareed sakte.
Yeah, and especially with quick commerce, it's now like everything can be available to you within few minutes, right? So, I think...
Yeah, I was joking with one of my cousins. He was there over the Rakhi weekend. And every like 5-10 minutes, he was opening the Blinkit app. I was saying, ki log Instagram open karte the to time pass. तू ब्लिंकिट ओपन कर रहा है कि क्या ऑर्डर कर लो व्हाट इज दिस दैट एवरी आवर आई सी यू ऑन ब्लिंकिट की कुछ तो ऑर्डर कर लो
नो दैट्स ट्रू बट इफ आई थिंक अबाउट दिस कैटेगरीज आर मैसिव राइट फर्नीचर ब्लू ज्वेलरी दिस आर एनीवेयर बिटवीन 50 to $70 billion कैटेगरीज इन द कंट्री एंड द ऑर्गेनाइज्ड इज जस्ट अ ड्रॉप इन द बकेट इन अक्रॉस राइट अक्रॉस द बोर्ड राइट इवन Tanishq is somewhere around 55,000 crore top line business, right? So that's roughly what? 7 billion, roughly, right? So
yeah,
still, it's not the largest player. It's not like organized as a massive market share, right? So I think there's a big headroom for people to build the brands in this category. So I'm sure CaratLane, Bluestone, they'll have a long runway ahead of themselves to be able to grow from here, basically, right? And that is what is the most exciting part that. It's not the companies where the online market is tapped out, right? You will see the compounding over next 10 years also you can see on some of these companies, basically. Yeah.
But if I look at the change from gold to diamond and online to offline, like we were looking at the gross margins, right? Most of the jewelry players today who are listed are largely gold players and therefore operate between 14 to 18% gross margin because gold mein you can't, I mean, A, you have to keep the gold rates, you display what the gold rates are and you can maybe make something in making charges and maybe, and therefore the gross margin is limited. But precious stones and diamonds, obviously your ability to charge a premium is a little different if you can put it that way. So what is the gross margin differentiation? And any view as to why these guys went more the diamond way? What was their realization in gold? I remember online to offline was very clear that utna abhi penetration aa nahi raha online mein, we should go offline. And I think CaratLane did this first, right? When they realized
got acquired by Tata.
And then obviously Titan showed the way and said, boss, even for CaratLane, which is at a different price segment than Tanishq, it's very funny. You send the data, right? Where average yearly Bluestone store does about 8 crores and that sounds so awesome, right? Ki ek dukaan hai jo saal ka 8 crore kar rahi hai karke at an average. There is apparently a Tanishq store in South Delhi that does $100 million. 800 crores in a year. Ek store, Chirag. One store. Wow. 800 crores, ek store karte hai. Of course, it's an aberration, but their average is obviously much higher, right? So there is a different premiumness, if I can call it, to a Tanishq brand, and CaratLane sort of plugged some of that, if I could say the lower end or what we can call fast fashion in jewelry, right? Where people wanted something for lighter occasions or more frequent occasions. It's not that it's a premium occasion. I'll buy something from Tanishq in 10 years. Maybe I'll buy something from CaratLane because this occasion comes almost once every 6 months, right? Different birthday parties, kitty parties, whatever it is. So it made sense for Titan to plug and say, instead of building a brand for the value segment, I'll buy a brand and then scale that. And of course, that would be something that Bluestone would have seen and said, okay, I am also a value/convenience brand and therefore I should go offline. And was the pivot from gold to precious stones also because this CaratLane did it, or was there some other thought process in here?
No, I think, so they were always heavy on diamond, right? So I think from day one, they were always heavy on diamond also because of the positioning of the company, right? So let's think about the consumer psyche, right? So if I just say gold, whosoever is buying gold today, pure gold, right, is buying this as a store of value because it's an appreciating asset. I am putting 1 lakh today. I know that after 5 years, if I go back in the market and sell, I'll at least it would have compounded by whatever, let's say 10%, right? And I can go and sell. The diamond on the other hand, one is, first of all, there is a retailer margin of, say, 30%, for example. So if I buy a diamond today from a Tanishq store, if I sell back to Tanishq, they'll give me 100% of the value. But if I go and sell into somebody else, I'm already getting 70% of the value because Tanishq already has kept a 30% margin on the diamond, basically, right?
Interesting.
So the person who is buying the diamond is not buying that as a, and on the top of the diamond as a, this diamond has depreciated over last 5 years. If you look at his recent history, diamond has actually depreciated in value, right? So now, if I think from a consumer psyche of who is buying gold versus who is buying diamond is very, very different, right? If you think about it, the gold is probably your and my mother's generation who wants to, who see that as a store of value, where diamond is more of a luxury and a fashion statement, right? Is the what is, and that's where the positioning is very different. Kalyan is, the positioning is, if you think about traditional jewelers, even like Kalyan is like, everything is about wedding jewelry or the traditional buyers who want to buy very gold heavy jewelry, right? Basically.
Yeah.
Tanishq is somewhere in the middle, but still more towards gold. And CaratLane and Bluestone took a position that I want to serve today's new generation woman who wants to buy the jewelry as a fashion and not as a store of value. Ke itna bada haar le liya aur wo locker mein pada hai, basically, right? That, and they won't wear that. Like, the today's woman is not going to wear that heavy necklace, right? So within jewelry market, they took a very different positioning, and hence there was a choice of being diamond focused and not just the gold heavy jewelry, right? Because of the segment they are going after, right? If Kalyan, even if they want to sell a diamond jewelry, it's very hard for them because of the segment they are going after as a consumer segment. Yeah,
very interesting. And if I therefore see a higher gross margins, though maybe lower throughput per store, because the TAM for gold is still much bigger than, and of course over time as the youth today looks at more fast fashion even from a jewelry perspective, but then comes along this new problem of lab-grown diamond. I mean, the entire VC ecosystem, there are like 5 companies that bets have been taken on the lab-grown diamond space. So is that a threat to a CaratLane or a Bluestone, which are more focused on diamond and precious stones as a business versus gold?
I wouldn't say that it's a, look, I think first we have to all understand that it's a very, very large consumption category. Probably one of the, as I said, one of the largest, right? So it's not like Bluestone does what the top line, the quarterly is say 2000 crore odd, right? So that's, or yearly 2000 crore roughly, right? So that is like a, if I think about all these brands, is really, so it's not like because lab grown will come, the Bluestone sales will be impacted. Everybody can go and acquire some part of the market, basically, right? If I just say India jewelry is such a large consumption category, there is a part of the market available to everybody, right? Now, what is the psyche of a person who is buying a lab grown diamond today, right? The psyche is very similar to a transition happened from the gold to diamond. That if I want to buy a 1 carat real diamond, it's going to cost me a bomb, right? Basically. But if I can buy a, but I want to, I'm a 24-year-old getting engaged, I want to buy a big rock, I can buy it at 1/10, 1/8 of the cost, right? Basically. Why not, right? So now it is changing the definition of luxury for this generation, right? Where just buying a small diamond was a luxury, but now suddenly, because of lab grown, I can buy a big rock. I can wear a big rock, right? And have that as a luxury, right?
Oh,
that
is the increase.
Right, exactly. Right?
Massification of diamonds.
Correct, right.
But having said that, let's say if somebody can afford, they would still want to buy the original diamond.
Yes, they would. That is exactly, that is how the market will play out, that there is a segment of consumer we want to buy still the original diamonds. In fact, we have heard cases where people are saying, I want to have one set of jewelry, which is real diamonds. But I also want to have a travel jewelry. I don't want to carry a very expensive diamond when I am traveling, right? So I will wear the lab grown when I am doing some business travel, right? I don't want to carry. So that also could happen, right? So people may have like a basket of products. Something will be pure. just store of value, gold, heavy gold. Something will be pure diamond and something will be lab grown, right? So that also could happen, right? So that's how it's playing out. But a lot of the consumers who are buying lab grown is buying with this psyche, right? So just to give an example for the brand like Okera, the average order value is 1 lakh rupee, right? So it's not like because lab grown, somebody's buying it some very cheap jewelry, right? Somebody's buying actually a big rock, right? And that is what's getting proven, basically, right?
1 lakh rupee for a lab grown diamond, huh?
Yeah, because you can buy 1 carat big rock for a lab grown, right? Which will cost you 8-10 lakh if you were to go and buy the real diamond. Basically.
Real diamond.
Yeah.
Would you know what is blue stone?
I'm assuming that it's the same affluent customer who is only buying. It's not like.
Yes. Right.
8 lakh rupees, at least in India, is not becoming massification.
Huh. Matlab, correct. You are right, but. As I said, right, when you are getting engaged, right, you will still buy a ring, right? Say you will buy a ring at least of 70,000-80,000, right? Even if you want to buy a real diamond, right? But now just by spending a little more, I am getting to buy a 1 carat diamond ring, right? So that's what people are thinking, right? So it's again a little bit of occasion where is what they're able to tap into. Yeah.
The gross margins of Bluestone, if they are double of what the gold guys are, shouldn't the profitability also be higher considering... Unless there is just a different inventory turn, but मुझे लग रहा है over time तो यार retail store भी छोटा है, आपका उतना शूशा भी नहीं है. It's like a 400 square feet store against a Tanishq का maybe 2-3-4,000 square feet, right? So all of these models will somewhere boil down to what is the gross margin you make, and if the gross margin is so much higher, why is their profitability lower? One hypothesis is they have put up a lot of stores in the last 1-2 years, and therefore the operating leverage is yet to kick in. And I'll tell you why I'm interested in this, because I was looking at the carat lane. So carat lane ka alag se abhi bhi they file separately, even though they are acquired by Titan. Carat lane shows a 9% EBITDA, and assuming, let's assume it's steady state now. And Kalyan Jewelers is a 7% EBITDA business, which is I think the second or third largest gold player. So clearly a high GM translating to a higher profitability, and therefore by design maybe a higher ROCE, assuming inventory turns are the same, is possible. And the other thing, at least I am hearing on the street, is that because Carat Lane can even go higher EBITDA if they sell on higher AOV, but then it will start cannibalizing Tanishq. So they want the Titan wants to keep all its brands very separate, and they don't want any overlap. So if Bluestone doesn't have that anyone from top pushing ki don't go higher AOV, by design looks like the business can do a 10% EBITDA as well, which at this pace of growth seems like a very lucrative opportunity to even invest now and sort of ride the wave to maybe a $2 billion market cap once the operating leverage starts kicking in. Again, not saying that subscribe to the IPO, but clearly it seems like an opportunity where a lot of the operating leverage is yet to play out. Interestingly, I also saw that the promoter has taken a loan to buy more into the business. I know this is happening a lot with companies going IPO, but this seems, because you also think about founders getting tired, right? 15 saal ho gaye, I think roughly 15 years into the business. But when you see promoters after 15 years also saying that I will take a loan and own more equity in the business because I think there is a lot more upside left from here, just seems like, going back to our discussion that we were having before the recording started on how public market investors love, you know, the fact that Dipinder is still very hands-on, still involved, like skin in the game, just seems like the signs seem to be interesting. I'm surprised that the IPO price is below the last round private price, but maybe that's what the mutual funds would really have pushed for. But looks like the IPO will sail through as well as have a very decent upside coming from here as the operating leverage starts kicking in.
Yeah, and because they sell a lot of these customized jewelry, wouldn't, let's say, the employee cost be higher because of that also? Of course, it can all be over time, as you're saying, operating leverage will kick in, they'll be able to sell more through the same stores. But generally, the employee cost will be higher than a Titan.
No, I think the main thing is so let's just look at the retail business as such. The most important metrics to track is, of course, apart from gross margin, is the store throughput, right? So, like, whatever highest sales per square feet is, if you do, like if Tanishq store does 800 crore in a year, their store level EBITDA will be crazy, right? Because imagine for 800 revenue or fixed cost of that store will be so low, right? So, right? So that's where the operating leverage kicks in, right? So that's what happens. I think the sales per square foot is a function of two things. One is what is the number of stores which are as a steady state, right? So Bluestone is in a growth space, so they'll put in many more new stores. So yeah, a lot of the stores will not be at a steady state store level EBITDA, basically, right? And yeah, once it gets to it, I'm sure automatically that will improve. The second biggest thing in a this business is the brand compounding, right? So Tanishq is a very, like, I don't know, probably 25, 30-year-old brand, right? So as you become a more and more known brand, right, I think your per square foot sales throughput also improves over a period of time because you get a lot and lot of organic traffic, basically, right? So I think it's a matter of time before Bluestone is able to prove that steady state store level EBITDA and hence the PAT, right? So
yeah,
I don't think it's really the HQ cost. It's really the yeah, every store out of, let's say, 270 odd stores, how many stores are at a steady state versus how many are still, you know, are yeah, very new, basically, right? Yeah.
Just to see that, Chirag, if you see Titan as of 2025 is in 435 cities. That's crazy, right? They have 3,300 stores in 435 Indian cities. Bluestone has 275 in 117. I know the right comparison is still with a Carrot Lane, but the interesting part is look at the selling and advertising expenses. It's come down from 11 to 10 to 9% for Bluestone, but it's still much higher than a Titan, which is still at 5%. So over time, what Darshit is saying that as the brand grows, your selling and advertising thanks will come down to, let's say, 5%. More critically, look at the SSSG, same store sales growth. Bluestone FY25 was 32% still. FY24 was 50%, whereas a Titan was only 16% and FY24, Kalyan was 17%. So I think the stores are still new. And because the yeah, SSSG is higher, the operating leverage is going to kick in. Plus,
yes,
hopefully over time, SG&A comes down as the brand improves. And I think the other critical part here is the inventory turns. I was seeing that number there somewhere. The average, yeah, the inventory turnover ratio for all of them is between 2 to 3. Yeah, 2 se 3 baar wo log ghumate inventory, all the major guys. Bluestone is actually reduced. If you see, they were at 2.75 in 2023, 1.83 and 1.34. I think this is a function of new stores coming in. But if this correct, goes back to, but they've shown that it can be 2.5. So effectively, when the inventory turn ratio goes up, SG&A comes down and stores mature, clearly looks like the operating leverage will kick in and then the PAT comes in yeah, with the ROCE as well. But clearly looks like worth subscribing to the IPO and something that will do well over the next 3-4 years. As I didn't know this, by the way, Darshit, what you said, ki after food and grocery, jewelry is the biggest spend that India does. Yeah. So clearly, TAM VAM to matlab unlimited hai isme bhi to.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is enough market for everyone.
Maybe we can end with that chart that we recently got, right? The July inflows to public market, it's been one of the highest in the last 12 months. Like, it started slowing down, so everyone felt ki ho gaya karke story. Because last 3-4 months, I don't know if you know, Darshit, it used to be at 35,000 per month. Last 2-3 months, it came down to 15-20,000 crores. So people said party's over, SIPs are now slowing down. July went back up to 43-45,000 crores. I don't know what's happening. And by the way, the interesting chart is that all of the, like, a lot of the money went into risky assets, like sectoral funds, small cap, mid cap, etc. So it was not like safe funds mein log dal rahe hain karke, nahi. And I think it was a little driven by NFOs and stuff, but it's very interesting to see this. I don't know if you can see this chart. So the net inflow was about 43,000 crores in equity. And the highest amount went into sectoral and thematic, and then flexi cap, then small cap, then mid cap. Like
and
large.
The column is, let's say, this is month on month growth, 22%.
No, total addition. So total debt mein aya hai, hybrid mein aya hai, and equity mein aya hai. Equity mein 43,000 crores aya hai. So total inflow ka 24% went into equity. Of that, I think 22% went into sectoral thematic. 17-18% went to the safer part of equity. 80% of equity investments went to the riskier asset class. Like sectoral, for example, is, for example, fintech, right? Yeah, infrastructure. Like there are funds who are specifically saying that we'll invest only in financial services or only in consumer or only in infrastructure. Those are very risky, right? It's like a very concentration of focus. And these are open for cyclicity. Ki cycle goes against you, 3 years, you may not see great returns. So effectively, people see sectoral or thematic as riskier. Then again, small, mid-cap as riskier.
Well, mid-cap also is riskier, yeah.
80% of money going into risky assets seems... And I don't people don't even know what has... Like, maybe it'll emerge over time, but yeah, ET may be article aaya ki ekdam rebound ho gaya karke. Now, what has led to the rebound, no one knows.
Is this July only trend, or let's say if you look at 3-4 months ka trend, then has more of this equity allocation has gone to riskier assets?
So there was an SIP stoppage happening that has slowed down. Ki people were stopping SIPs, wo ab ruk gaya karke. So stoppage ratio has dropped. So June mein 77% of stoppage happened. That was only 63% in July. So there were more net registered than stopped. So that was one.
I can definitely tell consumer shopping is up, if that's any correlation to people making
July
more
anyway
money than spending.
Is one of the best months, na, overall year mein.
And ab to wo hai na. मतलब दिस 6 months आर एनीवेज बेटर देन H2 इज बेटर देन H1
अभी तो बहुत सारे सेल आएंगे ना
हाँ मेरे लिए हेल्थ ठीक है इसमें उल्टा होता है बट आई एग्री ओवरऑल शॉपिंग इज H2 इज मच मोर बुलिश देन
या सो एटलीस्ट जुलाई स्टार्टेड स्ट्रॉन्ग आई वाज विद ब्लू डार्ट टीम आल्सो दे वर आल्सो सेइंग दैट इट इज एटलीस्ट द फर्स्ट मंथ इज शोइंग क्वाइट अ गुड बॉयंट पुश चलो गुड